Woods, H. Miller. Circa September 1896. Copy typed March 27th, 1898. Dear Brethren Woods and Miller, I hoped to have an interview with you both, but upon inquiry learned that you were living at a long distance from the house occupied by Brother Daniels. I could not go so far, for after getting off the African mail, I had but little time. I feel deeply over the situation of our people, and have much to communicate to the church when I have opportunity. I am so sorry that you have connected yourselves with this new enterprise. Already you can see and understand the influence the move is having upon your mind. You ought to have placed yourselves in the channel of light. You should have attended the camp meeting and with receptive hearts have listened to the precious truth. But at the very beginning of your independent business career, you separated yourselves from assemblies for worship and thus lost much which you might have gained. As the messengers of God, we brought light for the people, but you, who needed this light so much, were seldom at the meetings. We labored just as earnestly, whether there were few or many present. We dwelt upon practical godliness, for we need all the light and truth we can have at this time. One step out of the path of right leads to a second wrong move. In the past, the work of the Echo Publishing House has been hindered by the ignorance of those who were learning how to work. The institution has had to struggle with poverty and with defective education in many lines, but the Lord's blessing has rested upon the efforts put forth in faith and hope by the workers who were seeking to grow in grace and in a knowledge of how to do the work of God more perfectly. A great change has taken place, and better work has been done than at any other period of its existence. The workers, under an experienced management, have gained a knowledge of how to work. The Echo Office is God's institution, established to do a special work in the advancement of the truth. The presses are to produce messengers that shall go forth to all parts of the world. And the Lord has blessed his faithful ones. A grand work has been done in bringing the light of truth before many who have not seen the living preacher. But Brother Miller, while gathering all the knowledge possible, was waiting for an opportunity to follow out plans which he had formed for his own advantage. He heard a voice of invitation to temptation, saying, "All this will I give you, if you will be led and guided by me." He did not discern whither his feet were tending. He did not consider that the institution was God's instrumentality and that from it a light was to go forth to enlighten other minds in darkness, to prepare a people to stand in the day of the Lord. The Echo Publishing House is God's own institution, and had it not been for the Lord's care for it, it would not now be in existence. There are those in all our institutions, all through our ranks, who have not sound principles of action. They do not understand and cannot distinguish between a private business interest in workshops, factories, or cornfields, and the institutions brought into existence for the advancement of the cause of God, and which are built up by hard labor, fighting their way upward under most discouraging circumstances. The publishing institution has struggled hard to bring in, through the grace of God, a pure, sacred, holy atmosphere in every department of the work. But while a great change has been made and there is a better class of workers, there is not yet a true appreciation of the distinction between an institution which bears the divine credentials and a common workshop. Temptations are entertained by the workers, minds are undisciplined, worthless pleasures attract and divert the mind from the work, and these elements are a continual drawback. The Lord calls upon every soul connected with that institution to have a vigorous purpose, a lofty aspiration, a burning zeal for God's glory, that it may stand as a faithful memorial of the Sabbath of the fourth commandment. Let all stand in right relation to this institution
remembering that it is the Lord's instrumentality. Every sanctified ability is now required to give prosperity to the work and relieve it from its burden of debt.
God requires that the atmosphere of the office be kept pure from selfish principles or actions. We need to understand that the Lord God who rules in the heavens is jealous how his agencies are treated. To those who have obtained an education in the lines of work to be carried on in the Echo office, the Lord has given wisdom, as he did to Daniel and the three Hebrew captives, and he designs that the ability and powers given shall be returned to him to his own name's glory. Thus it is when workers are being educated to do a certain line of work in harmony with other workers. There will be trials in their experience. There will be unpleasant chapters in the experience of each. But this is something that should establish confidence. There must be restrictions and limitations and counsels given. But if this is regarded as a great trial, and the work is made a grievance, it is viewed in a wrong light. To the men who were to build the tabernacle, the injunction was given to make everything according to the directions given in the mount. This was often repeated because it was God's way, and the work was the work of God. And it was to be a representative of God. The Lord's service is a solemn, sacred service, and all connected with it in the Echo office are to consider that a sacred charge is upon them. They are to become workers together with God. The Lord is the teacher. Human eyes may not discern him, but he is close by the side of the one who desires to walk in the counsel of God. October 8, 1896. Last night I slept little. When I did fall asleep, after 3 a.m., I was talking earnestly with a company in regard to the move that had been made by brethren Woods and Miller in separating from the Lord's work to take up work for their own special benefit. Notwithstanding remonstrance and entreaty, their will was settled, and they were determined to carry out their own devising. They did not care to yoke up with Christ, and our institution was dishonored and left in need of the very ones who had obtained a knowledge of how to work. Without consideration of this, they left the institution destitute of proper workers. God will not bless this movement. It has taken years to bring into working order those who were ignorant of the work. The youth were doing a work in which the Lord has helped them. He has strengthened every action that has been done in the love and fear of God. But harm has been done to these young men who needed to be instructed in regard to staunch, true, loyal principles of obedience unto obedience. These words were spoken. Christ lived to express his life and character for all the youth, for all mankind. Better have these children suffer and lie in their graves than have them treat so lightly the principles that lie at the very foundation of loyalty to truth, to their fellow beings, and to God. Disregard of principles, of integrity, will make a chapter in the experience of these young men, and of all who act a part with them, which the universe of heaven can never endorse. There is a withdrawing from God's institution, irrespective of the sacred work which every true child of God will uphold and sustain. They do not understand the work which they are privileged to do for the Master. These matters should have special consideration by all connected with the Echo office. But when the senses become in any wise perverted, and the discrimination be clouded, when their work appears in no more sacred light than the most commonplace business arrangements, then God's cause will be sacrificed for personal interest. The knowledge gained in different lines is divorced from the work and service of God. There is a sacrificing of principle for selfish interest, and they prove that they cannot be trusted. They turn traitor at the most important period, when God demands every jot of ability to strengthen the things that remain. Everyone will be tempted by the enemy, but all may come through every temptation unharmed, if they will draw closer and still closer to God. It is not depravity of vicious habits that is leading the brethren on to self-serving. The wrong lies in a determination to follow the plans they have formed. Brother Miller cherished the pleasing, flattering idea that the knowledge he had gained should entitle him to the place of head director, and no secondary place in the Echo office. If this first place were not granted him, he would start a business of his own. But he calculated without God. Never again can Brethren Woods and Miller have a sense of standing together as true yoke fellows, to do that whereto they were appointed, to honor God with all their heaven-entrusted talent, to do God's ways and God's will. While they continue to follow their own will, there will be corrupted, tainted thoughts and actions. They will strive with their every power to get the advantage of the Echo office. Feelings will be cherished, natural to the human heart, to demerit the various branches of the work. They will employ methods to come out ahead. The root of selfishness will spring up and thrive, and thereby many will be defiled. Thus it has been from the very beginning, and it will continue. They have planted the root, and they will see a harvest which they will not care to gather. From the very first seed sown, it was wrong. It was born of selfishness, and every moment since, it has meant dishonor to God in His appointed agencies. It has done a work in Victoria that all the investments in private business firms could never have accomplished. Again and again, Satan was worked to bring discord and strife and alienation among the working forces of the Echo office. He has bruised the heel, but he could not touch the head. Those who have united their sympathies with the men who have treated the Lord's institution as they would a common thing have not increased their strength of spiritual discernment to recognize what this institution means to all who have any knowledge of it. It is like a great light in a lighthouse, built on a dangerous coast, ever to be a living, burning light to shine amid the moral darkness of the world. Every soul connected with the Echo office should feel himself highly privileged to be permitted to add to it his ability, his talents, and his unceasing vigilance. He is to act his part in making that institution just what God designed it should be, a light in the world, shedding upon the world an influence that is ever on the Lord's side. Satan's specious temptations may succeed. He will present flattering prospects before men if they will acknowledge him. All this power and recognition will I give you, he says. See Luke 4, verse 6. But this presentation is a lie, a false pretense, by which he seeks to draw men into his net. And he has succeeded in this case, leading Brother Miller into an entanglement from which, to all appearances, there was no escape, causing him to break away from the place where God had blessed him and where all his energies were needed. The Lord would have helped him with highest encouragement to give earnest effort to advance his cause. Brother Miller should have considered all these points unselfishly in the place of making of none effect all the efforts put forth to better qualify him for the work. The meeting held at Armadale would have had an influence for good upon his mind, upon the mind of his mother, and of the entire family, had they consecrated themselves then and there to the Lord, had each devoted every jot of his ability to the honor and glory of God. Every member of the family needed help from God to work with sanctified energies, as if their success depended upon their earnest, devoted influence and whole-souled interest in the work. God is always at our right hand, proffering His omnipotent power in every emergency, and Brother Miller might have cooperated with God in carrying forward the work of God for this time. He might have educated others as far as possible, laboring in perfect harmony with his fellow workmen. Letters were sent to America stating that Brother Miller was to receive special instruction in essential lines of work, and that the heads of the work there were to consider themselves in duty bound to give him all the knowledge possible to help advance the work in this field. But lo, that which was gained by this visit to America was not used to advance the work and to help just when and where help was needed. In the place of consecrating himself more fully to God to communicate the knowledge he had received, he planned to appropriate all to his own interests. Thus, all our efforts to help Brother and Sister Miller, that they might better help the cause of God, were diverted to another channel. Brother Miller feels that now he had sufficient knowledge to carry on an independent business in his own interests. And Satan rejoiced to see him do this, for he understood the outcome of such a course. Selfishness would lead him to bend everything into selfish channels, and Satan triumphed.
God has a work to be done in these depressing times that needs the firm courage and faith that will enable us to sustain one another. All need to stand shoulder to shoulder and heart to heart as laborers together with God. Oh, it is grievous to think of what might have been accomplished in and through the grace of God if the church only had right ideas and had stood as a whole to sustain, to bless with their prayers and influence at a time when discouragement pressed in on every side. Then is the time to work as faithful stewards. But instead of this, seeds of dissension were sown in the church. In every way possible, Brother Miller worked for his own interests, gaining the sympathy and help of the workers in setting up a rival institution. Does this bear the signature of heaven? No. I answer, no. In this movement, there has been a departure from the Lord's plans. I have many times passed over the ground where the enemy has worked in similar ways. The very work that Satan commenced in heaven is carried on the earth in small and large matters. This drawing away was not after God's order, yet it was persisted on. Were it not an institution around which so many interests cluster, where so much is at stake, even then the course pursued was not just and right. But when an institution which the Lord has established as a means to advance the cause and work of God in our world is treated as it has been in this case, God is dishonored and his work is hindered. How, I ask, do the heavenly intelligences view this self-centered course? Is it not best to consider all these movements and what relation they sustain to our spiritual welfare? Brethren Miller and Woods, did you not consider the result that this separation would have upon your brethren, upon the church, upon the office? Did you reveal that you love God supremely? Did you make manifest that you were standing in correct relation to Him? Did you love your neighbor as yourself? Have you not revealed what has been the result of this action upon your own minds and characters? Have you not seen how quickly the church was brought into temptation to reveal suspicion and distrust of the brethren? Could you have looked on all sides of this question as all true Christians should have done, you would have weighed the consequences it must have upon yourself in your attitude toward the instrumentalities which the Lord designs shall live and prosper to do a special work in His name, to prepare a people to stand in the crisis soon to come upon the world. My brethren, your action was not in the order of God. You had motives which God has not endorsed. If the men in responsible places should be indifferent and careless, letting you go on to hurt the institution that God has established and carry things your own way, they would be unfaithful sentinels, worthy of the condemnation of God. With faithful vigilance, they must guard the interests of the Lord's institution. In doing this, they must not become provoked to say harsh words and do unrighteous actions. But the same selfish spirit which prompted to the divorcing of yourselves from the Echo Office will work in many ways to secure advantages for yourselves to the disadvantage of the Echo Office. You have all you can possibly obtain at the disadvantage of the Lord's cause and His agencies. Have you placed yourselves in the place of those who are in responsible positions? Have you considered what kind of a spirit you would have revealed had you been in their place and under their circumstances? There could be no other than an unhappy feeling between both parties. Satan is ever at work to imbue men with his spirit, to quench the love which should be sacredly cherished and strengthened between the brethren, to discourage confidence, to cause dissension, to fan into lively action envy, evil surmising, and strife of tongues. The Lord has written in His book the cause and outcome of the ill-advised movement born of selfishness. It places brethren in a position of continual temptation.
It puts evil thoughts into hearts that need every moment the grace of Christ to overcome their wrong tendencies. Satan stands ready to take advantage of every word or movement made to create dissension. This matter has been opened before me. Its outcome is the loss of souls. It places each party in a position to watch for evil, to speak evil of things which should never have been brought into existence.
What has Brother Miller cared for beyond what he could gain for his own private interests? What keen, earnest efforts have been made to secure a better knowledge of how to serve himself in these matters, irrespective of the harm he was doing to the Echo office? There have been methods devised to gain advantages which he himself should have guarded with all the zeal and tact and management he possessed, that no one might use them to the disadvantage of the institution. But the Lord sees. The Lord weighs the actions. His eyes are everywhere, beholding all the works of the children of men. I might go on to great length, but I have not the heart to proceed further. This action has the displeasure of God upon it. There is, and always will be, tares among the wheat, and these tares spoil the harvest. But God says, "Let the tares grow. Root them not up, lest ye root up the wheat also." Matthew 13, verse 29. The wheat becomes so closely allied to the tares that in rooting up the tares, the wheat also will be rooted up with them. It takes a discerning eye to discover the difference between the tares and the wheat. But in the last time, God will separate the tares from the wheat. The powers and faculties of the church are to be increased, not by misapplying our talents, but by exercising the ability God has given. There is weakness in the home life. There is weakness and unfaithfulness in the church. Restore the faculties to healthful action, and they will be the stronger for the exercise they have. Men must learn what it means to cooperate with God. We are living in a time when Satan will work through church and state. This is where the counterworking will come in. To his people, God must be all and in all. He is most fit to carry responsibilities and command, who most resembles God in character, in goodness, mercy, and staunch loyalty to the cause and work of God. Everyone needs now to work for brother, for friend, for neighbor, and for stranger, drawing the mind away from the discouragements that will crowd in. The truth is to be magnified. We must not be surprised at strange movements. No one must seek exaltation. The more humbly we move and work, the more will we be exalted with God. The return of Jesus Christ to our world will not be long delayed. This is to be the keynote of every message. This matter has been presented before me in still another phase. The brethren who have separated themselves from the Echo office have opened the door of temptation to themselves and to the church. Their movement was not in the order of God. The minds of those who have ardently sanctioned this movement have had their eyes blinded to the result. Nevertheless, the result followed. Satan has led men and women into a miserable, unchristian state of feeling, of envy, of distrust. They have spoken against that which they do not understand. But God knows. A spirit of jealousy and evil surmising has been manifested against those whom the Lord has, in his providence, connected with himself in carrying forward the work in his institution. The Echo office has had discouragements to meet in the efforts that have been made to advance the work. From the first, the enemy had not favored it. Those who war against the truth of God have not favored it. Their utmost efforts have been put forth to bring it into disrepute and make it weak and inefficient. And there have been unconsecrated elements at work in our institution. Men who have not at all time had the glory of God in view, but have been themselves the sport of Satan's temptations. All such elements Satan uses when it serves his purpose best to hinder the work and discourage the hearts of the workers. And those who, if they could see the design and working of the enemy, would not sustain his work, are not able to discern the chaff from the wheat. They bind themselves up with the chaff. They become spiritually blinded. Then, in the place of discerning in the echo office God's own agency, to be jealously guarded from every unwise intrusion, that it may not become enfeebled by any of the enemy's plotting, they are blinded, and do not see that they are arraying themselves against God's own work. Sister Miller has been actively leavening the minds of the church members. She does not know what manner of spirit she is of. The publishing institution was founded in self-denial and should ever have been managed upon strictest economical principles. When there was a pressure for money, the members of the institution should have said, "We will cling to the work. We will take reduced wages. We will do all in our power, bring all our knowledge, all our power, all the wisdom God has given us, to make this work what God would have it, a success. God designs that this institution shall give character to his work, standing as a faithful sentinel to proclaim his truth, reflecting heaven's light amid the moral darkness of the world. In every branch, we will do our best to make it a success."
Any self-sacrifice made in behalf of the Echo Office is registered in the books of heaven as an act of faithful stewardship, and not one will lose its reward. This is the institution God has placed in Australia, and it is to be respected. It is to be as jealously guarded from all intrusion, from all investigation by curious eyes, as was the Ark of God. All the ability and talent that can be connected with it, through disinterested efforts, should be brought in to make it a success, a living, working agent for God. Work faithfully done will bring its reward by and by. Those who have by any action worked against it, building up separate interests, will one day see that they have not been cooperating with the heavenly intelligences, but have been working against God and heaven. It demands constant self-denial to bear temptation and not fall under the same. It demands constant patience and self-command to withstand constant, relentless, unscrupulous attack. There are those who in this movement have had an experience of good and evil. The knowledge of good and evil will, under certain circumstances, become a necessity. Man need not practice evil, but while standing in his loyalty to God, he will discern evil and decide against it. By this means he will come under the censure of certain ones who do not weigh matters sufficiently, nor realize that the interests of God's cause are imperiled by unadvised movements made by those who are self-seeking, who have not a keen, sanctified judgment to discern that the agencies of God, to be sacredly sustained by our every talent and power, are to extend the knowledge of the last message of mercy to be given to our world. It reveals wisdom from God to be able to distinguish between good and evil. Solomon's prayer when he was called the beloved of God was, "Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart, that I may judge thy people, that I may discern between good and evil." 1 Kings 3, verse 9. It is necessary that we have knowledge to discern between good and evil, between right and wrong. This was the office to which men were appointed in ancient times in connection with the sacred things which God had brought before the people, in order that religious interests might be kept pure and sacred amid a mass of corrupting influences. The men in charge of God's institutions are to pray, as did Solomon, for wisdom to discern between good and evil, deciding in behalf of the people between right and wrong. Their work ordained of God is as sacred now as in ancient times. Men who know God and trust in Him, who are working for His name's glory, are to have keen discernment to discover any influence which would demerit the work and hinder the advancement of God's institution. Those who will be faithful guardians of the sacred work of God, who will keep all their powers in vital connection with Him,
will discern between good and evil. And to those who have proved faithful and true and steadfast, connection with the King of Righteousness will be their reward. They will be as gods, knowing good and evil. Know ye not, says the Apostle, that the saints shall judge the world? 1 Corinthians 6, verse 2. Here in this world, even in connection with sacred responsibilities, there is manifested an eagerness to obtain high positions, to rule, to guide, to control. But of Christ we read that, though in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Those who are in connection with heaven are not to snatch at power as did Satan in the heavenly courts. The Lord bears long with the perversity of the children of men. He permits the enemy to work out his plans that he may have the final victory. The universe of heaven is to see the goodness of God in contrast with the character of Satan. The unfallen worlds must be prepared for any change in our world. The universe of heaven must not be taken unawares by men's imaginations and inventions. The attributes of the evil worker will be made manifest, and the true and loyal be gathered under one head. In heaven, the warning was given in regard to Satan's rebellion. They were to attempt no such enterprise. But they did this, and Satan and his host were expelled from heaven.
I must not dwell as long as I might upon this phase of the subject. With one more statement, I will leave it. This matter has been acted over and over again, and again history will be repeated. The devices of Satan are subtle, and the inexperienced ones will be misled by misrepresentations and false statements and hearsay. But the Lord's own institutions must be kept sacred from the strife of tongues. God has a work to be done in this world, and he has centers all through his moral vineyard, and these must be guarded jealously and zealously. Nothing must be done that will lead minds astray, that will make sacred responsibilities common. Any word or act that would tend to lessen the elevated character of the work of God will be charged as done to God himself. In this case, it will be seen that cause leads to effect. Results are brought about that man fails to see when he works so strenuously for his own will and way, treason against God's work, betrayal of sacred trusts. Brother Miller was not able to discern spiritual things because self interposed. This always blinds the reason. Do they think me unqualified to be superintendent? I will show them that I am capable. But I will not occupy a secondary position. I will stand as head. They need not think that I am to be kept down under the power of those who cannot manage as well. I will show them that I am perfectly competent to direct, and I will exercise my rights. Thus the sentiment is acted out. The door is now open for treason against the Lord's institution. He justifies his own course, and becomes an accuser of his brethren. And these accusations will continue just as long as the rival institution exists. They demand favors which cannot be given them, and the result is reproach and enmity. Whatever is to be established in the order of God demands harmonious action. But in this very effort to produce harmony, some discordant notes will be struck. But these false notes need prove no injury to the cause of right. They only serve to bring out, in all their perfection, the true, the pure, the good. In every understanding, lights and shadows will exist. And if the shade does not become light by blending with the light, then the more clear the light, the darker will be the shadow. The providence of God is not discerned in the establishment of centers in his great moral vineyard. Pride, ambition, hatred, deceit, selfishness are in their own nature self-consuming. As fire, they burn up the good. The sense of blame for wrong action will set all the perverse elements of human nature in rebellion. They know not that it is God against whom they are arrayed. They suppose it to be man whom they are despising, man who is seeking to hedge up their way.
There will be underhand work. Fraud and deception will be practiced in order to gain that which they desire. They require favors which, if they were themselves faithful guardians, they would never give. Thus are brought out and developed attributes which Satan delights to strengthen. Whatever may be withheld by men who are expected to guard the interests of the institution, they are not doing a wrong to those who would become rivals. And because these unfaithful ones are not granted the favors they ask, they withdraw to work in their own personal favor. This is sufficient reason why strictest vigilance should be maintained. Were they themselves loyal to the Lord's appointed agencies, they would be firm and true to the interests which they handle. Those who have separated from the working forces in the Echo Office, notwithstanding their ability which God required them to use to His name's glory, notwithstanding the objections made to their separation and the earnest pleas made for them to remain, have created a condition of things which require a boundary to be placed, which those who have drawn off cannot pass. Those who stand in a right position can correctly estimate these things, and they will prove loyal, resisting the sweep of disloyal feeling created against those who stand loyal and true to their post of duty. They will not be drawn away from God and His providential workings. Now, what position should those managing the interests of the Echo Office occupy? They can but show just indignation at the course pursued by those who have withdrawn their interests from the Echo Office, considering all the circumstances. There is such a thing as righteous indignation, and they can but experience it as they see men divorce themselves from the institution when every effort has been made to better fit them for a place there. But if they are Christians, they will manifest no malevolence. The law of God will hold them to its divine principles. Love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Matthew 5, verse 44. Let everyone now at work in the Echo Office, in every branch of the work, bear in mind that it is not common but sacred things you are handling. Treat this work as the work of God. Require unselfish, perfect service. This work must not bear a vestige of selfishness. Every power is to be exercised to prescribe order and unity in the church. All should feel that self must be hid with Christ in God. Look away from the battle, the warfare, to the victory. Drink new and living streams from the wells of salvation. Consider, every soul who acts a part in the work of God, that you are highly exalted. Look unto Jesus. Pray in simplicity and faith. Gaze upon Jesus until the spirit faints under the excess of light. We do not half pray. We do not half believe. But ask, and ye shall receive. Pray to be strengthened with all might, that you may endure the seeing of Him who is invisible. Pray, believe, strengthen one another. Be strong. Pray as you never prayed before, that the Lord will lay His hand upon you, that you may be able to comprehend the length and depth and breadth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, being filled with all the fullness of God. Let every soul depart from all selfishness and self-serving. Show yourselves loyal to the truth, acting your part with all fidelity. There are souls to be saved. Exercise your God-given talents. And let not corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Thus saith the Lord, pride, arrogancy, and a froward mouth do I hate. Proverbs 8, verse 13. The end is near. Work unselfishly while the day lasts, for the night cometh in which no man can work. To those who are honored in acting a part in the Echo Office, in any branch, I would say. You may feel that you are honored. Christ is looking upon the work in its various branches. In a special manner, this is the place for you to practice unselfishness, revealing the character of God. Seek to be more and more like Jesus, growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.